out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system at radioarian.com.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Friday, the 8th of March, 2019, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting at radioarian.com. Well, we've got a lot of knife crime in the news again. It seems a day doesn't go past when we don't have stabbings or shootings. The acid attacks seem to be taking a step back recently. We haven't been hearing about many acid attacks. I'm sure they are still continuing. It's just that the press is deciding not to cover them. I remember last year we heard that there was an acid attack every day, and they were increasing. So I can't see that these must have suddenly all just stopped. They just seem to be concentrating on the stabbings, and we've had a few particularly horrific ones recently that I'll get into in this episode later on. But one of the things that they are doing about this is that they're teaching children now how to deal with stab wounds. Imagine that. That's now part of your child's education at school, learning how to deal with stab wounds. Children in high knife crime areas are being taught how to deliver first aid to stab victims. Details of the program emerging less than a week after two teenagers were stabbed to death in separate attacks and a knife gang entered school grounds and threatened pupils. A knife gang went into a school. The police were actually there. The police were there waiting for them, and yet they weren't able to prevent the gang from stabbing somebody, and they weren't able to arrest all this gang. So it doesn't matter, even if you have the police there, it still doesn't matter. They're still going to go around stabbing each other. And what we're hearing from the politicians, particularly Sadiq Khan, Jeremy Corbyn, and also from Cresta Dick, the head of the Metropolitan Police, they're all saying this is happening because we don't have enough police. We don't have enough police. And Theresa May has said there isn't a link between this crime, this increasing crime, and the police. And for once, I actually agree with her. I don't think it is due to there being less police. There are no police where I live, and yet we don't go around stabbing one another. And there were police at this school, and somebody was still stabbed. The problem is the people that are doing the stabbing. More other excuses they're making for this. They're saying, well, they need to have more youth clubs. They need to have more things put on for them. They need to have more sports fields. They need to have recreational centres. They need to have their own pirate radio stations. All sorts of nonsense, and saying that it's simply because we're not giving them things to do. And if we don't give them things to do, they'll just stab one another. Again, that's absolute nonsense. When I was a kid, we didn't have anything to do. We made games up for ourselves. We had an imagination. We didn't go around stabbing one another. That's not the default position if the government doesn't provide you youth clubs for you. It may be the default position if you're black, but it's certainly not if you are white. Stop and search. They're saying we need to bring stop and search back. Why was stop and search stopped in the first place? It was stopped in the first place because Theresa May said it was racist, because so many of the people that were being stopped and searched were black. But the reason why blacks were being stopped and searched is because they fitted a witness statement. Witnesses had come to the police and said, I've just been mugged. The person that just mugged me with a knife was black. He was wearing whatever trainers and whatever coat. Therefore, when the police see somebody that's black, that's wearing the same trainers and a coat, they would stop and search them. And yet, they've been accused of being racist for doing this. The same as the gang matrix. That's apparently racist. That has to be done away with because all the people on the gang matrix are black. That's because blacks get involved in gangs. It's a natural inclination for them. If you look out in Africa, they have tribal warfare. They are members of these tribes, and their main activity is going over to the next village and stealing whatever they can from them, stealing women, stealing cattle, having wars with them. And then that village that's just been robbed, their custom is to then go and steal from the next village. Not steal back from the village that's just robbed them, but go off to another village. And there were reports of this happening and the whole of Africa being set on fire as it just went round in a circle, and they would be asked about it. Why'd you do this? And it's just a tradition. And we've got the same behaviour here now in the multicultural centres of Britain, in London, in Birmingham, in Manchester, where we have these gangs going around stabbing one another. And to become a member of a gang, you have these initiation rituals that can include going out and killing somebody. I think that accounts for a lot of this. They have a game. They have a game where you get points for the most disgusting thing that you do, whether you stab someone, you throw acid over them, whether you kill somebody, and they give you points for the most audacious crime that you've carried out. This was reported on a couple of years back. This isn't things that white kids do. White kids have imaginations. They used to play at being cowboys and Indians. You'd probably play at being in Star Wars now. That's if they have an imagination left at all after playing computer games all the time and watching DVDs and having a mobile phone put in their hands from the age of 2 onwards because it keeps them quiet. All of this is down to the push for diversity. All these people that have been killed, it's down to the government's immigration policy. None of these people would be here if they hadn't opened up the floodgates after the war. And nobody will point this out. There was a brave conservative politician last summer, I think it was, who pointed out the correlation between violent crime and blacks. And he was accused of being racist for doing so. But if you want to stop this, then all the resources have to be targeted on the community that is carrying it out. They need to be targeting the resources at the black communities. They need to be stopping and searching them. Really, they need to be deporting them if they're carrying out crimes. But if they're not going to do that, then they need to be stopping and searching them. If they're caught with a knife, they need to go to prison. We keep hearing about blacks going to court, having been caught with a knife for the second time, also having been caught drug dealing and being involved in other petty crimes, and they're not even being sent to prison. They're supposed to get a mandatory, I think it's a 4-year prison sentence just for carrying a knife. None of them are being given that. The Daily Mail has been out at these court cases. They've got pictures of somebody walking out from the court, taking a selfie of himself, this Negro. And it's the second time that he's been caught with a knife. And it's a drugs offence as well he's been charged with. And he's just walking free from court. And people don't seem to understand why it is that they're walking free from court. And again, I mentioned this before to you listeners. I refer people back to the directive that was given to the judges and the magistrates that if they have a black person in the dock, they have to bear in mind that they may have been the victim of racism. And therefore, sentences have to be reduced because they have to do something to get the numbers down of the blacks that are in prison, because it must be racism. That's why there are so many blacks in prison. It can't possibly be because they're 5 times more likely to commit violent crimes anywhere they are in the world. That's the reality of it. They're far more likely to commit crimes. It's like men are more likely to commit crimes than women. That's why their prison population is 95% male, because men are more likely to commit crimes. It's not because the police are anti-male, although they are anti-male, but that's not the reason for why there are more men in prison. And nobody would dare to say that. Nobody would think of saying the reason why there are more men in prison than women is because of discrimination and prejudice against men. And yet we accept this excuse as far as Negroes are concerned. And because we accept this excuse, our streets are no longer safe. Our public transport is no longer safe. White people don't dare go to our capital city. 60% non-white. A third of all the stabbings happen in London. And they happen around the time of the school leaving time. When the parents are going to pick their kids up from school, that's when the stabbings occur. It's the kids that are doing this. Again, we look at them as if they're white children. They're not. They mature at a much faster rate than white people do. A 14-year-old Negro could well be the same size as an 18-year-old white boy, and also as sexually active as an 18-year-old. And yet we're looking at them as children when they are adults. They are officially a different subspecies to us. That's what race is. It's subspecies. I would suggest they are a different species altogether. But they, according to all the literature, they are a different subspecies. So why do we expect them to behave the same as us? Why do we project our own sensibilities onto a race that looks nothing like us, behaves nothing like us, sounds nothing like us, smells nothing like us? The only thing we have in common with them is we walk on two legs and we both have the gift of speech. But they never had the gift of writing. They were never able to write anything down, never able to pass any information on to the next generation that wasn't just passed on orally. They never had a chance to develop to a level of civilization like we have. And we've just imported them into our civilized countries and then act shocked when they behave like uncivilized savages. What do you expect? What do you expect to happen as the country becomes blacker and blacker? It's just going to become more like Africa, exactly the same as the cities in America that are now 99% black, and where you have shootings, stabbings, attacks going on all day long. And you have all these marches where these Negroes go on these marches. Please, won't somebody do something and stop us from killing one another? You can't stop them from killing one another. That's just what they do. The only way to deal with this problem is to say, well, you go over there and we'll go over here. And what's wrong with saying that? What is wrong with saying that they should be with their own people, living with their own people in one section of the country, or preferably in one country of their own, and we'll live in another section of the country, or preferably in a country of our own? If Britain has got just too many of them to send them back to Africa, why don't we just say, well, why don't you all move to Birmingham? You can be policed by blacks. You can have your own black police, your own black judges, your own black teachers, and just don't leave that city centre unless you've got a pass. We could give the well-behaved ones passes if they don't have a criminal record. We could say, well, you can travel about, but you can't stay in the white areas. Well, what would be wrong with doing that? Why is that racist to say that? Surely that's what they want, isn't it? They say they want more black police officers. They say they want more black judges. You can't have a white teacher teaching them, because how can a white teacher relate to a black pupil? How can the black pupil relate to the white teacher? Well, why not just separate? Why not just separate? That's the way to deal with this. And I don't think it's not racist to say this. It's not because of hating other races. It's because of loving your own race. And it's because that's the reality of things. That's the reality of the world. There is no diversity in nature. Birds of a feather flock together. Getting back to this article, and the new lessons on knife crime in schools. Run by charity street doctors, school children are taught how to deliver first aid to stabbing victims through role play and learn how to stem blood loss, reports the Times. I mean, how horrific must this be for primary school children to be in lessons learning how to stem blood loss just in case somebody bursts into the classroom and starts stabbing people? Think of the world these kids are now growing up in. The scheme operates in 16 cities across the country, including London, where less than 15% of the population live, but one-third of all stabbings occur, according to NHS data. And of course, also it's 60% non-white. That's why one-third of all the stabbings in the country occur there. The charity said they know of 14 cases where their training has helped in an emergency situation faced by youths, in one case in a shooting, and seven after a stabbing. So in each of these cases, there has been children that witnessed this and children that had to perform the first aid. Carl Ward, chief executive of City Learning Trust in Stoke, Staffordshire, told the newspaper that Street Doctors gives training at its secondary schools, explaining, "They come and show you what a knife can do to the body. It makes it very real." You see, this is another problem with this. They think that if they show kids the harm that stabbing somebody causes, they're not going to do it. But they don't. The black kids don't think like us. They look at that and think, great, this enemy of mine, that is an enemy of mine, if I do this to him, I will hurt all his family as well, even better. It doesn't make them think that they're not going to do it. It's like when they appeal to their consciences, and the poor parents of the person that's been stabbed goes on the TV and says, look at what you've done to my family. Please hand yourself in. The people that did the stabbing are just going to be laughing at that. They don't have a conscience. They just see it as, that's my enemy. I stabbed him. Or else they just don't care at all because it's not them. Blacks don't understand abstract concepts. It's impossible for them to put themselves in somebody else's shoes. They don't understand why society feels aggrieved when a member of that society has been attacked. They just see it as, well, it's not you, so why should you care? And this isn't racist to say this. This is a fact. If you look at the African languages, there are no abstract words. There are no words for any abstract concepts in any African languages. And what that shows is that they're not capable of abstract thought. And that's what abstract thought is, putting yourself into another person's shoes. This is the reason why we have this stabbing epidemic. It's no good putting more police on the streets. That's not going to stop it. Children are usually in quite a lot of shock. Stoke-on-Trent is a tough area with lots of gang problems. We've had for a few years to prep the children up so they know what they're getting into. Every child has lessons from street doctors, including how to respond to a stabbing. If somebody had said that to me 20 years ago, that kids in schools were going to have to be taught how to deal with stabbings, I would have said that couldn't possibly happen, that the government would never allow something like that to occur so regularly that the kids needed to be taught how to deal with it. And yet they have. Which proves to us that we live in an occupied country, either occupied by a foreign force or occupied by traitors. On Monday morning, police were called to Runshaw College in Leyland, Lancashire, after administrators were informed a gang of youths travelling from Manchester, 30 miles away, were intending to enter school grounds bearing knives in what was suspected to have been a targeted attack. So the police were there. The police were there at this college. Lancashire Police told the Evening Standard officers were deployed, and whilst at the college at shortly before 4 p.m, they witnessed a group of males walking into the grounds while students were leaving. Some of the group were seen carrying knives and were making threats towards students. They saw this happen, so why didn't they intervene? A 17-year-old boy was nicked on the arm during the incident and has been taken to Chorley Hospital. His injury is not thought to be serious. The group was said to number around 12, and police arrested six males, aged 17 to 18, seizing a machete, knives and crowbars from the suspects, who were later bailed with strict conditions. So half the group was allowed to escape. One lad had his arm stabbed, and the people that carried out the attack are free and still walking the streets. They were bailed. And they think this sets an example. This is going to prevent people from doing this. Later that evening, Leyland Police Chief Inspector Gary Crow said, "We believe this was a targeted attack and that we think the group have gone to find someone and a separate student has received a minor injury. This was not a random attack." Well, of course it wasn't a random attack. The police were called at the beginning of the day to say that it was going to happen, and yet it was still able to happen. So these calls for more police is going to solve this problem, it's nonsense. It's not going to solve the problem. The police were there. The police were there waiting for them. And they did nothing about it, basically. Somebody was still stabbed, and only six people were arrested and then freed out onto the streets to continue whatever it is that they were doing. And this follows on from an horrific stabbing that took place last week, which shocked the whole country. On Friday, 17-year-old Girl Scout, a white girl, Jodie Chesney, was stabbed in the back in London. You imagine that. This girl was just sat there on a park bench with her boyfriend. And the next thing she knows, she feels a knife plunged into her back. She doesn't know who's done it because it's stabbed in the back. She's unable to stand. Her boyfriend is there. And what does her boyfriend see? Five black faces that just run off. Five black faces. This girl was stabbed because she was white. That's what it looks like to me. I think this was a gang initiation. The poor father has been on the television asking for the people that did this to show a conscience and hand themselves up. They don't have a conscience. How can you say that somebody who just walks up to a white girl and stabs her in the back has a conscience? And this isn't some lone nutter. He had five Negroes, this was, that did this. Five of them. This is obviously acceptable to them in their culture to do this. If it wasn't, it would have been a lone Negro on his own doing this. It's the same with the rape gangs. It's not lone individuals doing this. It's accepted in their community. It's their community that's doing this. Also, on Saturday, a scholarship student at a top private school called Youssef Galeb Mackey, non-white, of course, also 17, was stabbed to death in the affluent Greater Manchester village of Hale Barnes. And we don't know the reason for that. He could have been involved in drugs. They do like to pretend that a lot of these victims were aspiring rappers or top students, and then you later find out that actually they were involved in drugs. A lot of this is drug debts. People get themselves into debts for drugs. They can't pay for them, and they get stabbed to set an example so that in future customers pay their debts. This is the world we now live in. Data analysed by Channel 4 has found that the number of children being treated for stab wounds has nearly doubled in 5 years, while the number of under-18s committing murder or manslaughter has increased by 77% since 2016. And as I say, what they really should be looking at is the ethnicity of the people doing it. And the ethnicity of this increase by 77%. Are they all black? Police chiefs have called for increased powers to stop and search those suspected of carrying weapons, powers that were restricted in 2013 by the then Home Secretary Theresa May on grounds that the policing technique was disproportionately used on young black men. And it is actually the parents of the victims of these stabbings that are calling for stop and search. I don't think Theresa May actually listened to the parents of the black victims. All she listened to was people like David Lammy and Sadiq Khan and all the other race baiters that like to accuse whites of institutional racism, that try to blame us for their own behaviour. I mean, that's what this is. White people are being blamed for black behaviour. We're being told that we haven't put enough police on the streets. We haven't given them enough youth clubs. That's why they're doing this. No, the reason they do this is because that's what comes naturally to them. And all you have to do is look wherever you have a community of Negroes in the world and you will find them killing one another. That's what they do. And people who think differently are ignoring the reality of what they see. And we really need to have some brave politicians with the courage to stand up and speak the truth about this and say, this is a black problem. Even if they don't then admit that we wouldn't have this black problem if we didn't have immigration, just standing up and saying this is a black problem would be a big help, because it would mean that it could then be talked about. It would mean that resources could then be directed to the black community rather than teaching all the schools in Britain about first aid after being stabbed. They could target this on these black communities. When are we going to finally hear a black politician saying this is a black problem? Because they know that it is, and they're just being dishonest by pretending that it isn't. David Lammy is being thoroughly dishonest in saying that they just need to have more police. He knows that this is a black problem. He's black himself. He sees it all around him. And yet he lies to himself and he lies to the British public and he blames the white man for it. Anyway, that brings us to the end of today's podcast. Do check out Aryan Insights, which we have later on with Peter Rushton. It's a fantastic interview that I think you will all enjoy. Thank you very much for listening. I will be back on Monday with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're tuned in to Radio Aryan at radioaryan.com.